If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. This morning, Brother Trotter preached from the Psalms, and he didn't leave much, but the 89th chapter, he left a scrap or two, I guess. That's about it. The 89th chapter and the 15th verse. Immediately after the message, if God continues in that direction, and I believe that he shall, we'll be praying for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and believing God that those that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or those of you that need a refilling of the Holy Spirit, shall be filled or refilled. So we are obeying the Lord in doing this and believing that many will be the recipients of the mighty infilling of the Holy Ghost. The psalmist writes and says, Psalms 89 and 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now this is a strange grammatical construction, because normally it would be, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, because normally we think of people in the plural. But the King James translators, translating from the ancient Hebrew, felt that the Holy Spirit was designating the word people not in the plural, but in the singular. Hence the grammatical construction is, blessed is the people, because we are one. We aren't divided. There's only one body of Christ. There aren't 3, 5, 10, 20, or 2. Just one. If you're a Catholic, you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you're just as saved as I am. If you're a Baptist, you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you're just as saved as the Catholic is. There's no such thing as being a little bit saved or half saved or partially saved. Some Christians act like that, but there's no such thing as second-rate bargain basement salvation. If you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, you are a member of the body of Christ, and maybe you don't belong to any particular denomination. As far as God is concerned, it makes no difference. He was there before the Baptists ever started. He was there before the Catholics ever started. He was there before the Pentecostals ever started. And so we are one. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus, you're my brother or my sister in the Lord. If you're not saved, I'm going to try to get you saved so you'll be my brother and my sister in the Lord. I want to use for a subject the joyful sound. The joyful sound. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, in the holy and the mighty name of Jesus, I would ask that you would help us to minister this which we believe thou hast given unto us. We would pray that you would help us to enunciate these words, these thoughts that fill our heart. Deliver them clearly, concisely, that your people may hear them and understand them. And O God, that thy blessings would rest upon thy word. Help us to decrease always as you always increase. And I'll ask it all in the holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I will allude to this to start out, and I will lay it aside and not come back to it prayerfully anymore. Whenever this horrible thing happened of some months ago, after seeking God extensively and on the advice of the brethren, we felt that it would be wise to say nothing. I did not really know the things that would be told, the things that would be said, and when I did find out some of the things, I almost died, I'll be honest with you. But I knew there were certain elements in this country that wanted to destroy us and would go to any length to do it. And then Friday night, a week ago now, 10 days ago, Brother Rents came by and he said, "Brother Swaggart, I hate to mention this," and I had considered not saying anything, but he said, "I think you should know." He said, "There are a group of preachers in this country, religious leaders, and that are telling this on you." And he started to enumerate the things they were telling, and it was so horrifying. I mean, you think of it in the worst construction that you can think, the most vile, horrifying that you can think, and you probably wouldn't get as bad as it was being told. I thought, "Lord, I have no choice, I have no alternative, I'm going to have to speak out. I'm going to have to go on television to defend myself. I'm going to have to call it like it is, because that's been my forte all of my ministry, and just stand up." And I called our lawyer and I said, "There's nothing else that we can do. We have no alternative or choice." And the lawyer is a godly, Holy Ghost filled brother, a member of our board, and a tremendous Christian, dear friend. And I said, "I have no choice. You can't be accused of the kind of things I'm being accused of and just say nothing." And it just fills the land and every type of thing you could think of. I didn't sleep all night, maybe an hour, maybe so. And if you would have come at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I think that was the time, you would have found me walking outside praying and trying to get the mind of God. And the next morning, I guess it must have been 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. Francis and I were we have a little den in our house, and we were sitting there, and she started to cry. And I remember she bowed her head and said, and I almost the same words that I had been praying. And you have to understand, the Lord so many times tells us things, and we are weak, frail human beings, and he has to come right back a week later or a day later and tell us all over again, because that's the way we are. And he's patient with us. But anyway, she was sobbing, and she laid her head on my shoulder just sobbing. And she said, "Will he just not tell us?" Because I knew the things that I knew. If I went on television, it would start a religious war. I knew that. It would split entire denominations. I knew that. And I was troubled in my spirit. And she said, "Would he just tell us plainly what to do?" I'm talking about a joyful sound now. And I said, "Well, honey, maybe he already has." And the grandkids came over, and I walked out, and I was sitting there and talking to them. They were outside on the patio. She was talking to a lady that's in this service tonight from New Orleans, dear friend, and she had her Bible in her lap, Francis did. And after their conversation ended, she came out to where I was sitting, and I noticed she looked different whenever she came out. And I looked up at her, and she said, "I want to read you something." And I said, "All right." She had her Bible in her hand, and she was trembling. She said, "God just spoke to me." She said, "I was studying the Word, but I wasn't studying the Old Testament. I was over in the New Testament, and I guess I just flipped the pages, and these words leaped out at me, and I didn't really pay that much attention to her. I was watching her and listening to her. But then she read these words. It's Exodus 14 and 14. It said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And when she said it, I started crying. I started weeping. The presence of the Lord came all over me. I mean, I just started weeping. And she started weeping. I said, "Give me the Bible." And I've read it, I don't know how many times, but I picked it up and read it again. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." In other words, the Lord was saying, if you want to fight for yourself, get out there and make a mess of it. But if you want to keep your mouth shut, I'll fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. I'm telling you, I shouted all day. That's a joyful sound. I want you to look first of all tonight. And please forgive me for boring you with that little thing. I want you to look with me to the 28th chapter of Exodus and starting with the 34th verse. Reading 34 and 35. A golden bell and a pomegranate. Exodus 28, 34 and 35. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound. I talked about a joyful sound. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. Now this that I read you is the sound of the forgiveness of sins. You say, "Well, I didn't realize that forgiveness of sins had a sound to it. I just read it to you." Let's go back tonight to the days of Moses. The great high priest that was appointed by God, Aaron, the first one, that was to be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming Redeemer. And oddly enough, Jesus would not come of the Levitical order. He would come of the tribe of Judah. He would be after the order of Melchizedek. But the great high priest would be a type and a representative of the one that was to come. He wore the linen coat under the ephod. The linen coat, you could see the sleeves that came down to the hands and the hem that came down to the ankles. Snow white linen typifying the righteousness of Christ, typifying the humanity of Christ that was to come. Over the linen coat, there was the ephod that was one of the most beautiful garments that any human being ever put on because it was designed by the Holy Spirit. It was a bluish, purplish color with scarlet, each color typifying particulars and specifics. The coat of the ephod was blue. The ephod itself had scarlet in it. It had purple in it, scarlet sacrifice, purple royalty, blue heaven. And over that coat of the ephod was the ephod itself with a breastplate that had the beautiful stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And beneath that was the Urim and the Thummim, meaning lights and perfections that no one yet quite knows what they were. Around the beautiful coat of the ephod, its blue color typifying heaven, Our help comes from above. Our salvation comes from above. Everything we have comes from above. Not by man's wisdom, but it comes from above. When all the heavenly utensils would be moved, the brazen laver, the golden lampstand, the table of showbread, right inside the holy place, the altar of worship, pull back the veil of the cherubim where was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat and the cherubim looking down at the mercy seat and the broken law that was in the Ark and the blood between the broken law and the cherubim. When it was all moved and the cloud would move, and God's instructions were, when the cloud moves, whatever time of the day or night it is, you move. All of these utensils were covered by blue cloths. But when Israel saw it and the Korathites packed it all up, it was a constant, never-ending reminder that your help comes from above. Man tends to forget that today. The church tends to forget that today. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, all of Israel would gather. They had three great feasts in the year that all the males of Israel had together and had to come and worship the Lord. The Passover was one of them. The Day of Pentecost was the second one. The Feast of Tabernacles was the third one, and at the other seven in all, but at the other feast, representatives came. And on this day of the atonement, when the great high priest would go inside the Holy of Holies, one time a year it took place on one specific day to offer up blood sacrifice for the sins of Israel. That is what my text pointed to as I read it to you tonight. If you can picture in your mind the thousands upon thousands of Israelites as they stood out waiting with bated breath, would God accept the sacrifice? Would God accept their offering for sin that really could not take away sin, but only push it back? If you've read your Bibles, as I know you have, you are always reminded of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming at Jordan. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he used the words, "that taketh away the sin of the world." Not sins, plural, sin, singular, meaning it's all done away with. Notice he said, "taketh away," because that term was not used in all the sacrifices of the past. They say that maybe 2 billion lambs were offered up in that some 1,500 years of animal sacrifices. Josephus said on the day that Jesus, the Passover, the day that the week of the Passover, of his crucifixion, some 250,000 lambs were offered up. They were offered up constantly. The fires on the brazen altar never went out. During Jesus' day, there were over 100,000 priests officiating around the clock. 12,000 alone lived in Jericho. The horns of the altars pointed north, south, east, west. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that will not just push away your sins, that will not just pile them up and try to cover them, but behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Glory to God. And on the Day of Atonement, the great high priest would first of all kill an animal, roast the flesh, sprinkle the blood and then go into the holy place, on into the Holy of Holies, and offer up the blood on the mercy seat for himself. And then come back out, and a second animal would be killed. And this time it was for the sins of Israel. But here is what he did on both trips on that Day of Atonement. He was dressed in the most beautiful garments that you could ever begin to imagine, as I've already tried to state. The white linen coat, the mitre on his head, holiness unto the Lord written on it, the blue coat of the ephod, the ephod itself with the breastplate with its precious stones flashing their beautiful colors, with the golden chains, with the shoulder pads, with the names of Israel on them, the tribes of Israel. He would take the blood with those beautiful garments. They had little bells around the coat of the ephod, the blue coat of the ephod. A pomegranate. It was a bluish, purplish tassel shaped like a pomegranate, and then a golden bell. A pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell. Every time he walked, the bells would ring. The bells would ring. The bells would ring. And he would take the blood, go into the holy place. To his right would be the table of showbread. To his left would be the golden lampstand, casting its eerie reflection over against the far wall, over against the bread of the face. He would stand there immediately before the altar of worship, and the veil with the cherubims that hid the Holy of Holies, where God resided. And he would reach up and undo the shoulder pad, undo the chain, pull off the beautiful breastplate with its shining diamonds and amethyst and carbuncle and precious and semi-precious stones. He would pull it off, gently lay it down. Then he would reach and pull off the beautiful blue robe of the ephod with the sounding of the bells and lay them down. And now no sound could be heard. For when he went into the Holy of Holies, our salvation was not purchased with garments of glory and beauty, but it was purchased by his precious shed blood. Hallelujah to God. It was, as Peter said, not purchased with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus went to Calvary, the angels did not go with him. There is no beauty, Isaiah said, that you should desire him. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That was talking about Calvary. The garments of glory and beauty were laid aside. No beauty that we should desire him. He is despised of men, rejected. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. So the garments were laid aside by the high priest, typifying the death that the Christ would die. And with nothing but the coat of linen, typifying Christ's spotless humanity, without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. He walked in with a basin of blood, and if I had been him, I would have been trembling from head to toe in the face of God Almighty. If there was sin there, he would be smitten on the spot, die out of hand. He would take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and pour out the rest at the base. And then he would come back out into the holy place, and all of Israel was standing. The priests were standing just outside the door listening. Mothers would hush their little children further off, listening. What were they listening for? When he came back out into the holy place, he would reach down and get that blue coat, put it back on. Take the breastplate of the ephod, put it on over the blue coat. And as he would walk around putting it on, the bells would start to ring. Hallelujah. Come without money, without price. The bells would start to ring. And Israel knew that for another year their sins were covered. The ringing of the bells, his sound was heard. They knew that any moment he would step outside the door. Listen. When Jesus offered up his blood on Calvary, went back to glory, he said, the way you'll know it's all right, I'll send back the Holy Ghost. I'll send back the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And when you hear the ringing of the bells, you'll know that I have finished the work. I've come out of the Holy of Holies, and I'm in the holy place, and I'm about to come out the door to come out and get my children. Oh! Glory to God. When you heard the tongues and in the interpretation, that was the ringing of the bells. That was saying he has finished his priestly work. He is in the holy place now, and he's about to step out of the door at any moment. Glory! I hear the ringing of the bells. I hear the ringing of the bells of pomegranates, fruit of the Spirit, bells, gifts of the Spirit. Forgive my exuberance. No, don't forgive my exuberance. I don't care whether you like it or not. He's coming. I hear the ringing of the bells. He has offered up the blood. Every time I hear somebody speak in tongues or give interpretation, or the gift of faith goes into operation, or discerning of spirits, or the word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, I know I'm saved. You say, well, what? That doesn't help me to know I'm saved. I may not, but it does me. I know I'm not trusting in bulls and goats anymore. I know my sins are not pushed aside
Glory to God. When I hear it, I know that my heavenly high priest is walking around in the holy place, and the bells are ringing, and the bells are ringing, and the bells are ringing, and it means the blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. The blood has been applied, and I'm saved, and I know that I am, and I'm born again, and I know that I am, and I'm forgiven because I hear the sound of forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I don't know about you, but I hear the ringing of the bells. I don't know about you in television audience, but I hear the ringing of the bells.
When that priest, that high priest would step out, hallelujah. I mean, every garment was in place. And when he walked up to the door, you can be certain. But you say he didn't have a mirror. He did. The walls were gold. The walls were solid gold. You could see your face. You could see a gnat's eyelash in those walls. Mirror, looking at gold, and he got everything just right, his hair right, his golden mitre on his head. Then he turned, and there's a door, and he'd step out. When Jesus comes back the second time without sin under salvation, he's not coming back to be beat. He's not coming back to be cursed. He's not coming back to be hung on a tree. But when he comes back, he's coming back crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords and fairest of 10,000s and bright and morning star, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The sound of the bells. The sound of the bells. My Lord, can't you feel that? My Lord, can't you feel that? His sound shall be heard. I can hear his sound tonight. Glory to God. We're praying, dear sister and dear young man, we're praying God will get you out of those wheelchairs before Jesus comes. But if he doesn't, when he walks out that door, corruption's going to put on incorruption. Mortality's going to put on immortality. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And there'll be no more cripples. And there'll be no more blinded eyes. And there'll be no more sick when he comes back. His sound is heard. His sound is heard. It's a joyful sound. It's a joyful sound. It's a joyful sound. It is not that we shout. It's that we don't come apart and explode in utter joy that our sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. If you want to mull around over some old thing you did and old split foot drags it up, look what you need. Your daddy told a story once that I never forgot. Said a preacher friend of his committed a sin, not a mendacity, but a sin. I don't know what it was. He didn't say, and I don't want to know. And he said, he started to just quit. Just quit, quit preaching, quit, just quit. What are y'all looking at me like that for? Like you're a bunch of angels. You missed goody, goody, two shoes. You're looking at me like you're perfect. You don't know what I'm talking about. All right. He said for about 6 months, the devil liked to have driven him crazy. He would drag it up. Just drag it behind him, you know. And he would pray and squall and cry and God. Yep. And the devil drag it up. So one day, talking about the sound of forgiveness of sins. One day he said, "The devil, I'm tired of this." Give me one of those chairs, brass section, that you are. Could I borrow one of those chairs? Right there? You've got one right there beside you, Charlie. It's just as holy as he's one he's got. Come on out here, Charlie. Charlie's the greatest organist in the whole world. My mercy alive. Got him two chairs. I won't use the other one. I won't make that rascal stand. He sat down in a chair. He put another chair over there, and he said, "Now, devil, you sit right there." Said, "I'm going to tell you something." Said, "I am." He said, "I am sick and tired of you dragging that thing I did around after me. I want you to know Jesus Christ has forgiven me, cleansed me, and washed me. It is no more there, no more whatsoever. And I want you to understand it, devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't ever bring it back up again. If you do, I'm going to hit you with the blood of Jesus. I'm going to hit you with the name of Jesus. I'm going to hit you with the grace of Jesus. I'm going to hit you with everything he has. Now you get out of that chair and you leave this house and don't you ever come back anymore." Glory! Said he never bothered him again. Sound of forgiveness of sins. I've got to hurry here. I will be Monday. The sound of forgiveness of sins. Acts. Yeah. Acts chapter 2, as if you didn't know. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it settled upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. Sound from heaven. The sound of Pentecost. You have the sound of forgiveness of sin first. Then you have the sound of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost. I was getting ready for church. And I still see where I was standing by the bed, about to reach down and get my coat. And the Spirit of God said, "You pray for people tonight to receive the Holy Ghost when you get through preaching." He said, "And furthermore, you've been neglecting that. You haven't been praying for them enough to receive the Holy Ghost." He said, "I not only died that men may be saved, but I died and rose from the dead that they may be filled with my Spirit." Praise God. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is not an option. It's not a little sticker on the side of the salvation window. that says extra. Base price, so much. Extra is so much. You get me? It is not an option. It is not an extra. It is a necessity. The car ain't going to move without it. It's not going to roll without it. It's not going down the highway without it. You may have a car. You may be sitting in it, your hands on a steering wheel, looking out the window. But without the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to go anywhere. Now that bothers the church world, doesn't it? I can't help it. No, no, no. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, anything like that. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking about power. I'm talking about power. I'm talking about an endowment of power from on high. You're going to face every demon of hell. You're going to face every devil of hell. You're going to face every power of darkness. And friend, you're going to need all the help you can get. There was a sound from heaven. The only reason the early church survived is because of the Holy Spirit. The only way today you're going to survive is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know what I'm talking about. I have been there. The only way you're going to survive is by the power of the Holy Ghost. The leading of the Spirit, the direction of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit. Whenever it looked like it was impossible and I thought, God, it's not going to work. It's just no way in the world it can happen. I'd prayed all day long, sought God all day, and it was like you were fighting a million demons. Oppression so thick you could cut it with a knife. Hell screaming, demons screaming, it's over. You're not going to make it. The ministry is destroyed and wrecked. And I would walk that fence out beside our house all day long, hour after hour, crying to God until I was physically exhausted. And it was just no hope, no hope, no hope. The blackness, the gloom, the darkness, it just seemed impossible. That didn't happen one time. It probably has happened 100 times. With the concentrated forces of hell. And it was about 3:34, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was out front of the house this time. And just, you try to pray, you can't pray. You try to seek God, and it's like the heavens are brass. And I started to sing that little chorus. I sang it here the other night. Not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, not by might, not by power. I don't know how he does it. He gets a chord every time. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Then I felt it coming. I felt it start to come. All day long. Why didn't I start singing at 8 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. It started to come, a sound from heaven. What's that chorus? Oh, this mountain shall be removed. And then it really started to hit me. Oh, this mountain shall be removed. Oh, this mountain, the Holy Ghost started flowing through me, shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Charlie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. The wind is starting to blow all over the world. You hear me? That wind is starting to blow all over the world. Now mark what I say. Mark what I tell you right now. I know what I'm talking about. God is going to send the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit yet that the world has known in its history. Two things are going to happen. They're already starting to happen. There's going to be the greatest falling away the church has ever known. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It's going to be the greatest falling away that the church has ever known. It's going to be the greatest falling away that the Pentecostal church, be whatever it may be, has ever known. At the same time, there is going to be the greatest moving of the Holy Spirit, the greatest power of God around this world that it has ever known before. You say, I don't know how that can happen. Well, it's going to happen because some are going to believe God. Some are not going to go back. Some are not going to flee after the weak and beggarly elements. Some are going to believe God, and the greatest outpouring of the Spirit and the greatest number of souls being saved are just ahead of us. Mark what I'm telling you. Secondly, and I want to say this, it won't sound too good, you won't shout over it, but I've got to say it. Most of that move of God, most of that move of the Spirit will not come to America. There will be a little touch here and there, a move here and there. But America is in for trouble because America's turning her back on God. And there will be a touch, a move here and there, but most of the move of God that's going to take place around the world is going to be in areas of the world that have not seen a move of God to any degree. Eastern Europe is going to be one of them. Eastern Europe is going to experience, I know God has told me, a move of the Holy Spirit like it has never known before in all of its history. Communist China is going to see a move of God like it's never known in all of its history. And I want to tell you something else. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've seen their tears. I've seen them roll down their cheeks. I've heard their sobs. I've seen tears just spurt out of a man's eyes like somebody would squeeze his head. The Soviet Union, despite demons, devils, and hell and communism, is going to see a move of God like it has never seen before in all of its history. I know what I'm talking about. The wind is blowing. I hear the sound. I don't know if you hear it, but I hear the sound. I hear the Macedonian call, come on over and help us. I hear the sound. It's coming from Russia. It's coming from China. It's coming from India. It's coming from Africa. It's coming all over the world. It's a sound of Pentecost. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means the Hottentot in Africa. That means the Zulu in Africa. That means the Russian in Siberia. That means the whole wide world. Glory to God. Some time ago, I was asked to speak in Washington to a group of preachers and politicians, congressmen. I don't know if any senators were there or not, but if some congressmen and representatives there, and preachers that asked me to speak, I don't know how many, several hundred were there, and how we could through conservatism elect our candidates for office and steer America in certain directions. And I started to pray about what God wanted me to say, and the message he gave me, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to Washington. I sure don't want to deliver what you've told me to say. And that's when they started getting angry at me that day. Well, I went and I told them whatever I thought he told me to say. Didn't set well. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, you tell them that our political efforts are just about over. We've just about done it, and God has done what he's going to do. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get involved in good government. Don't misunderstand me, but he said it's about over. My priority now, and I have staged the whole world, the economic conditions all over the world, the political situation all over the world, for one purpose. And that's not to elect conservative candidates, ever how important that may be. But it's to get the gospel to the whole planet. They got colder and colder as I spoke. And when I got to that, I thought, sure, the preachers would be happy. getting the gospel out, they just stared a hole through me. They were totally uninterested in anything I had to say, and I could almost hear him whispering, "We got to get rid of him." I preached to 2,000 of them a few months later, and they stared at me for 45 minutes. I don't think there was an amen in the crowd. We've got to take the gospel to the world. They, in essence, said we have absolutely no interest whatsoever. Am I right? I'm right. But I don't care what they do. My business is to open this book. And to go where the sound is being heard. And to take this gospel of Jesus Christ to the furthest corners of the globe. And don't misunderstand me. There are some preachers that want to take it. There are some preachers that have a burden. There are some preachers that are doing everything they can to take it to the whole world. But only a few. Sound from heaven, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was not given to you, Pentecostals, for you to just feel good and jerk a little bit. All of that's good. I love it, but that's not what he gave it to you for. He gave it primarily to you that you may get so in love with Jesus, that you may draw so close to Jesus, so in love with Jesus, so like Jesus, so kin to Jesus, 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 until you'll want to tell everybody in the whole world about Jesus. Hallelujah. Sound of Pentecost. Been a little negative. Let's get off of that. 1 Kings 18. Where in the world is Kings? First Kings chapter 18, verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Woo, glory to God. I don't care what the devil has said. I don't care how much drought there has been. I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. He said it's coming, and I believe it's coming. Ahab, look out. Devil, look out. I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. You hear me? God's people that have been into the holy place, that have heard a sound from heaven, they also are miracle people. Glory to God. God answers prayer. God works miracles. The only hope for this old drought, I'm not talking about the physical drought, I'm talking about a spiritual drought. The only hope for this old spiritually drought-stricken world, it's not a different economic policy. It's not a different president. It's not a different program. But the only hope is the reign of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God Almighty. The Lord told me in the foreign crusades, he said, "You only preach one thing, preach Jesus. Preach Matthew, preach Mark, Luke, and John, the stories about Jesus. Preach Jesus. Jesus is the answer, the sound of an abundance of rain." I want you to understand this. I don't know what you're going to do. I want you to leave here knowing what I believe. I've already said it, but I want to say it in a little different way. I like what the man said the other day. No preachers are going to bring in any kind of utopian paradise. Not going to work. Forget it. Just mark it off. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You heard me, didn't you? So perilous times are coming. But I also know that there's a move of God coming. I've been told I'm crazy. I've had preachers to tell me, good friends, you are crazy. You can't hope after the way the devil has kicked you to do anything for Jesus. Well, maybe I'm crazy. But I can hear something that maybe they can't hear. It may be as dry as dust in some places, and the devil may have dried everything up, and the whole thing may be dry, and the leaves on the trees may be parched, and you may say, I hadn't had a touch of God in my soul in months, and the grass may be burned up, and the water holes are dried up, and churches are closing their doors and saying it's no case for revival, but I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I can hear the sound of an abundance of rain. It's going to fill the pools. It's going to water the ground. It's going to fill up the lakes. It's going to water the trees. It's going to make the sprouts grow. It's going to fill up the barrels. It's going to fill our hearts. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm believing millions of souls are going to be saved. I take that back. He told me tens of millions of souls are going to be saved. The Lord's not coming back after some little old weak, emaciated, falling down, puny, sagging up against the wall church. Hallelujah. I don't know what the rest of the Pentecostal world is doing, but I want the power of God. I want the rain. 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 Glory, hallelujah. You can plant your cactus bushes in your desert all you want to, but I want the rain. And I hear the sound, not of mercy drops round us falling, but of abundance of rain. You say, you don't know where I am, preacher. It's dry where I am. Well, just listen. It's coming. Hallelujah, it's coming. Well, I wish you'd hurry up and get here. Well, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And when it comes, you're going to outrun old Ahab. You're going to outrun the chariots. You're going to outrun everything hell has. You're going to outrun his horses. You're going to outrun his prancing horses. You're going to outrun his chariots. You're going to outrun Ahab. Hallelujah. The sound of abundance of rain. And I want to tell you something else. Doubting Thomases. When the rain falls, it's not going to fall just on your little old skinny bunch. It's going to cover the land. It's going to fall on all flesh. It's going to fall on the Catholics. It's going to fall on the Baptists. It's going to fall on the Methodists. And the communists are even going to have it fall on them. And they're going to know Jesus is Lord with a capital L. Jesus is King. It's going to fall all over this world. That cannot be. They do not belong to us bunch. I mean our bunch. Try to walk between the raindrops. I get amazed at those that say there'll be no rapture. When we're going up, I'm going to put my arms around them. Say, how's it feel? Hallelujah. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're making plans today. We don't have a dime of money. We don't have a nickel of money. We don't have a cent of money. Not a dime, not a cent. Hell is standing around looking with his old bony face. Whining, you can't do it. And when he gets out of breath, he'll use some Christian, you can't do it. Hallelujah. But we're making plans wherever the rain is falling. Glory to God. If it's not falling, I'm going to go there and beat on the Holy Ghost drums and help it to fall. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To take it all over the world. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm going to cut this short. In your Bibles, 2 Samuel, chapter 5. Where is 2 Samuel? Chapter 5, 23rd verse. Second Samuel 5. 23 on. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. When you hear the sound of a going, notice, it's never a sound of the staying. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop. The Church of the Living God does not stagnate and stop. The earthly organism may, but the true Church of Jesus Christ is going. Victory. This is the sound of victory. This is not the sound of defeat. You hear me? David said, Lord, what do I do? He said, when you hear the sound of a going on the top of the mulberry bushes, what kind of sound will it be? I don't know. Maybe it was a sound to the Philistines that it was like chariots or whoever he was fighting. Maybe they thought they heard armies on the march, or chariot wheels rolling, or horses neighing, and mighty army. I don't know what it was, but it was a sound. And it was a sound of victory. I want to ask you tonight, if you don't have the victory now after this camp meeting, I don't know what in the world we can do with you. I don't know what we can do with you if you don't have the victory. You say, well, I don't know what, man, you don't have my problems. I don't have your problems. Honey, you don't know what problems be. You don't know what problems are. I thought Goliath was dead. I thought David killed that rascal, but he's been resurrected. But I'm here to tell you, there is no defeat for the child of God. We're going to win. Do you hear me? 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 We're going to win, because I hear a sound of a going in the top of the mulberry bushes. We are not defeated. We cannot be defeated. It's not possible to be defeated. We can't be defeated. If we lay flat on our back, we'll still win. Because he is the head, and he is our commander in chief, and he has already won the battle. He has already whipped the devil. Glory to God. I'm going to say something else, and I want the devil to hear it. Your kids that are unsaved are going to be saved. Believe it in the name of Jesus. Your lost loved ones that are now lost are going to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. What looks like defeat, he's going to pull it out because he is God and you are his children, and there is nothing he cannot do. Glory! Praise God. You can't lose. You say, well, preacher, I am losing. No, you're not. The battle's not over. You're going to win. I know. I've read the last page in a book, and we win. We win. We win. We win. I've read the last page, and we win. The child of the living God wins. No defeat. Victory. No defeat. Victory. 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 Oh, hallelujah. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'm coming out on top. I'm going to hold my head high. I'm going to square my shoulders. And he's going to lead us through. For this is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Devil, we're going to pay our television bills. We're going to get the stations back. We're going to take the gospel all over the world. I'm already victor over every power of hell and every power of darkness. And Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. Mamba sutu teliboba shotrangile bebete. Glory. 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 This church is going through. This church is victorious. This church is going to make it. This church is coming out glorious. This church is without spot or wrinkle. This church has defeated the devil. This church has whipped the enemy. And I'm a member of this church, the body of Christ. You may be listening to the Grateful Dead, but I'm listening to the living Lord. And I hear a sound. Heaven's on the march. Angels are getting ready. Glory to God, the cherubims are crying, holy, holy, holy. The Son of Almighty God's about to step to the door and about to walk out of the temple. I hear a sound. I hear a sound. I hear a sound. Victory, 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 victory. What can separate us from the love of God? Can distress, can tribulation? No, no, no. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you ought to shout. You ought to shout. You've won the battle. You've crossed the goal line. You've hit a home run. Jesus is on his throne. The job is finished. He's saying, come on up a little higher. The last sound you're going to hear is for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The sound of the rapture. Give me some musicians.